This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This is Danny and Dusty.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
With Danny Murray and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
What ruckus? I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
Describe the ruckus, sir.
And 1080.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The Fan.
It's always a ruckus here on Mondays on Danny and Dusty. Will Ortner in for Dusty Hera, sitting in the sunny rays of Mexico. Jeff Russ behind the glass. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. And a quick shout out to everybody that joined us Thursday and Friday, Thursday or Friday, both, whatever it was, up at A&A for the absolute S show of goodness.
It was awesome.
Awesome. I'm going to toot my own horn. Went 15 of 19 on my picks. Absolutely crushed it up there. Screw you, UNC Wilmington, for going on that 12-0 run in the first half and killing my first half under. You monsters.
I'll tell you right now, I feel like I'm having withdrawals. Like, I'm having a come down. Like, it's sad that isn't wall-to-wall action.
Oh, God, the wall-to-wall action. And like, the biggest issue for me, again, selfishly, was that between commercial breaks, and the shape that my freaking hip was in, I couldn't make it over to the kiosk.
They were on the other side, though.
Yes.
I don't know that you could have made, let's say you're 100% prime Danny Meringue.
It's dicey.
Are you able to run there and back? I don't know. Because I thought about that, too, and I don't think I could have.
It was dicey. It was one of those things where, you had to know there was, four open kiosks. That way, if somebody filled in as you're getting there. But there were so many live bets. I was I'm sitting there looking at my laptop that's pretty good. Shout out Dave Bartu, who was feeding them to me. Tailed you on a couple that I could, Bartu. And also, he did call St. John's the first of the top two seeds to go out. They were.
Yeah, and I mean, it makes sense. They had one big Achilles heel all year, and it was they can't shoot.
Yes.
They are really bad offensively, and where they made their money was they would get steals, and then they'd get easy buckets
offense, because
it's hard to miss layups. And the other big thing, too, is it was the worst offensive performance from their big three that they could possibly have, and it was what would happen when this... Because it was going to happen. Eventually, they weren't going to be able to play six games in a row where all three of those guys were on, and they had a game where all three of them were off. Now, one was off because of foul trouble, Richardson, but RJ Lewis was an absolute gong show that entire game, and I don't really understand why. Of the three, offensively, he had the best game, and he was getting to the bucket. He just couldn't finish. The length of Arkansas just messed with his shot. And he had wide open looks that he was missing.
And we'll dive more into that game here in a little bit, but offense is also the name of the game for the Portland Trailblazers over the weekend. They score 128 points against the Denver Nuggets and 116 points against the Boston Celtics. 128 enough to get it done over the Nuggets, who are missing Nikola Jokic. And you would say they're missing Jamal Murray, who did technically play, but you wouldn't know it by the outcome of the game. Denny Avdia had another monster performance for the Trailblazers. 36 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, 12 of 16 from the floor, 4 of 6 from 3, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. And we'll probably find a way to talk about Denny himself specifically coming up a little bit later because he has been so good. But the Blazers get two games that I think people thought they might not get in the first two of this four-game stretch of the homestand. Then they take on the Boston Celtics last night. And the Blazers did basically everything that they could and should do. It was not enough because Boston is an absolute freaking unit.
They're a wagon, dude. It's Boston. This is why they're the favorite, though.
Look, I asked Chauncey Billups, the first question to start the press conference last night was, Chauncey, you damn near shot 50% from the field, 40% from three. You hit 19 threes. You push on the rebounds. You only have 12 turnovers. You move the ball incredibly well, and you still weren't close in this game. What do you take out of this game? That team's just better than us. And he's right. Yeah. For all of the I have people like, oh, it's an excuse. I can't hate this loser mentality. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. Oh, they're missing Jaylen Brown and Kristaps. Yeah, they still have the fourth best player in the world in Jason Tatum. They still have an unbelievable player in Derek White. They still have probably the sixth man of the year in Peyton Pritchard. They still have a guy shooting over 40% on volume from three in Sam Hauser. And my God, did he kill them last night.
Yes,
the game
did.
Plan was, in the first half, we're going to double off of Sam Hauser and make somebody else beat us. And you know what Sam Hauser did? He beat them.
Loud noises!
Yes! Look, man, that is a
loud from three.
It is a championship team. They are really freaking good. As a team last night, the Blazers hit 19 threes. 19! They scored 116 points. And if you go back and watch, you're like, well, don't double off Tatum. Did you see what Jason Tatum was doing in the second half? Because Tumani Kamara basically single-covered him the first half, and he was 2 of 8, or 2 of 9.
Mm-hmm.
Two did an incredible job on Jason Tatum in the first half. Well, then they stopped helping as much, and you got Jason Tatum on switches, on Ant, on Shaden, on Scoot, and he hit shot after shot after shot after shot. The dude was diabolical. I was like, oh my, and it was good defense, but when you don't have an elite defender to put on him at all times, that's what happens.
Well, also, is he maybe, like, because KD had this moniker for a long time where you couldn't put a good enough defender on him.
He's going to shoot over the top of you.
There wasn't anyone there.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum's the same way.
Yes.
You put a guy who's fast enough to keep up with him, he's just going to back him down and go into the post. If you put a guy that's long enough on him.
He's 6'10", dude.
He's huge.
I don't think people realize how big Jason Tatum is. He is a monster.
Well, and I mean, it's revisionist history, but looking back on the finals run that they had, was he as good as he needed to be offensively?
No.
Well, probably not, right? They still won anyways. But when you look at what he was doing defensively and how he went in and he helped shut down that Dallas Mavericks team, he probably made a bigger impact than most of us gave him credit for. Like, that guy can win, and he plays winning basketball, and he does it unselfishly. He doesn't miss time. You ran into the defending NBA champions. You ran into a team that I would probably bet right now, so if I had to put my money.
At the worst, they're the third best team in basketball.
At worst, they're the third. I bet you I'm putting my money on them, though. Like, if you looked at me right now, hey, Will, gun to your head, future, you got to pick a team, I'm taking
Boston. I'm not going to fight you over it. I'm a Cleveland guy, but I'm not going to fight you over it. They're the reigning champions.
They're the reigning champions. They've proved that they can do it. And when they, and look, I get it. They didn't have Brown in this game. They didn't have KP in this game. But they also, no offense to the Blazers, they don't need them in this game.
They don't need them against most teams because of what they do shooting the ball. They hit 23 of 53s. They took 88 shots. That means they took 53s. They took 38 twos. It is a math problem. This isn't what they just, you know, oh, they did this to the Blazers. You know, it's coaching and scheme. No, they do this to everyone. They're going to break the NBA record for made threes in a season.
Their worst starter had 14 points. When you're looking at the point totals, their worst was 14.
Look, man, Tatum was 1 of 7 from 3. Other than that, Hauser, 8 of 10. Derek White, 4 of 10. Pritchard, 4 of 9. Horford, 2 of 6. Baylor Shireman only finished with 6 points, but he was 2 of 5 from 3 in this one stretch early in the game in the second quarter that just blew the game open. That was when the game was lost, was in the second quarter, when Portland really started to look like they had something going. And then Boston just said, nah, dog. And Baylor Shireman hits 2 threes. I think Horford hit one in there. Hauser hit 2 or 3 because I believe he finished the first half 5 of 6 from 3.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
And they're awesome in work, and the Blazers aren't.
And you know what? Well, this is what championship teams do.
Yeah.
They make you pick your poison. And the poison the Blazers picked in the first half was, we are going to make the other guys beat us, which is what you do in basketball. The problem is the other guys for the Boston Celtics are really good at what they do. Mm-hmm. And so when you help off and you try to make it difficult for Tatum, Sam Hauser hits threes. Peyton Pritchard hits threes. Derek White hits threes. And even if you're the Blazers there and you hit 19 threes, you finish this game in a 116-129 game that never felt that close.
I will tell you what, and
I thought the Blazers played really well.
Maybe this is looking at life glass half full. If you would have told me with 10 games left that the Blazers are going to be 2.5 games out of the play-in, and that, albeit not the strongest Boston Celtics team, but you told me that they were going to play within 13 points of them after the last 2 or 3 years we've seen from the Blazers, I'd be pretty happy with that. Now, I understand, like, going into the year, everyone wanted to tank. Everyone wanted Cooper Flagg. That doesn't seem like what's going to happen unless you get really lucky with some ping pong balls. Crazier things have happened, right? But it feels like there's some growth. And you unfortunately ran into a team that's
buzzsaw.
They're 3 teams better than you.
They're 29-7 on the road this year.
There are tiers in this league, and they're 3 tiers better than you.
And it's just what it is, that you have one of the youngest teams in the league, and you have one of the most talent-rich and the most expensive roster in NBA history. It is what it is.
And
it's
they're starting to turn it on because they know it's
what
go time.
What time it is. Yeah.
It's go time.
And speaking of what time it is, even with the loss, the Blazers find themselves in the midst of the play-in. There is a ton of things happening around them that they can't control. Which way do the Blazers go as it pertains to the play-in, the teams around them, and what is going to happen down the final 10 games of the stretch as it tests every nerve in Jeff Frost's body? We'll get to that and more here on Danny Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Both Trailblazers have split, or at least guaranteed themselves a split, of two of the four biggest games against the toughest opponents down the stretch. They get the win against the Memphis Grizzlies. They get the win against the Denver Nuggets. Two games. They had to win two out of the four, basically, to give themselves any sort of chance of making the play-in. They're going to take on the Cleveland Cavaliers tomorrow night. The Cavs did win in Utah the other night after a four-game skid on the Western Conference. I would imagine they were probably enjoying their time. They've locked up basically the first seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. When I look through this schedule right now, and you look at where they're at, they're, what, 2.5 games out of the play-in with the Suns and the Mavs. And both teams seem to want to get in. The Suns have to. The Mavs don't necessarily have to, but they're bringing all their bigs back. Where do you put the percentage chance
Blazers? So the math on this right now is that the Blazers are more likely to end up with the eighth overall pick, or I'm sorry, the eighth best odds, than they are to make the play-in. That's where the odds actually have them.
Gotcha.
The math does. Okay.
That hurts a little bit.
It does, if you're looking at
It's a BYU elbow to the groin.
But it doesn't factor in kind of what we've seen from some of these teams recently. And that is Memphis without Ja Morant, the Nuggets without Nikola Jokic. You don't know who's going to play for the Cavs. Remember, Donovan Mitchell didn't play for the Cavs when the Blazers went there on the road on, on their seven-game road trip. And it's a game that goes to overtime.
Right.
When the Blazers, like, I've talked to the players about that game. And it's one that sits with them. They all believe they should have had that game. Like, I've two, Denny, and I mean, just talking to those guys about that game, like, I wish I would have done X different. I wish, like, it's one that kind of, it still lingers. And look, you can say that about a bunch of games, but that one in particular, I think really, they thought they were going to win that game. But you take a look at the standings right now in the Western Conference, okay? And this is where it matters, okay? Joe Simons, who does the post-game show with me and did before on NBC on Outsiders, you know, one of the things that drove him crazy is anytime we were talking about playoff seeding, the thing that I always say is you don't look at the wins, you look at the losses. Because once you're to a certain number, the other team has to lose those games to meet you.
Right.
So even though technically the Blazers are only 2.5 games back from the Phoenix Suns, they're 4.5.
Because of the losses.
Because of the losses. Because they have 40 losses to the Suns and Mavericks, 37. And now I give them the half game because of the game play differential, right?
Right.
And the reason it's 4 and not 3 is that they do not have the tiebreaker with either team. So they can't end up tied with them. They have to pass them. So it is essentially a 4-game difference with 10 remaining. So if it's a 4-game difference,
you're not catching them.
Not just that, just like the math. The math alone says that if let's just say that the Suns for this purpose have 10 games remaining. If they only win one game, you have to win 5 of your last 10. If they win 2 games, you have to win 6 of your last 10. 3 games, 7. 4 games, 8. You understand what I'm putting down now?
I picked it up as soon as you said 1 out of your last 5. Yeah.
I'm
there.
That's why the loss column matters. It's not about how many games you win. It's about how many games they lose. You don't control it.
Right.
Because you have to pass them. and they have to surpass you in losses. So you just have to keep winning and plugging along and hope and pray.
And it's just not going to happen. You look at the schedule. I mean, even if certain players sit out for Cleveland, Cleveland's still a really good team. You just watched a Boston Celtics team, which this Cleveland Cavaliers team has been better than this year, at least in the regular season, sit out a couple guys, and they still worked you, right? You go through New York, no one's sitting out. They never do. That's not how Thibodeau runs his team.
Not only that, they're without Jalen Brunson. They can't afford it because they're in a seeding battle.
Golden State, LA.
Let's just go through it real quick.
Not going to.
Which of these games are you comfortable with the Blazers winning? Tomorrow against Cleveland?
Nope.
On the road against Sacramento?
I'd like to hope so.
Okay, that's one. On the road at New York?
Nope.
On the road at Atlanta?
I'd like to hope so.
Okay. At Toronto?
Yes.
Yes. At Chicago?
I'd like to hope so.
Okay. Spurs at home?
Again, I'd like to hope so.
Okay. At Utah?
I'd like to hope so.
Okay,
so
you close the seat. That's six.
Six. You're probably getting, you'd like to hope you get six out of the 10.
You have two remaining after that, Golden State and the Lakers.
You're not beating them because they're in a seeding battle and everyone's going to play, especially with the Lakers because they have to get used to playing.
Especially with the Warriors because they're trying to avoid the play-in.
That's right.
They're in that, 5-6-7 range right now.
See, I was thinking with the Lakers because how much time have Luka and LeBron really got together? Mm-hmm. LeBron needs just to ramp back up. And they didn't look good on Saturday night against the Bulls.
That Bulls team beat the brakes out of them, and the Bulls are pushing for the play-in.
Which is honestly why I hesitated there, because you're getting the Bulls at the end of a five-game road.
Yes.
So, like, six best case, like, and how many times have we seen it in the NBA where it's like, man, that team just hit every three-pointer they shot.
That's
that
what
night.
Happened for them last night.
I know, but like where a worse team beats a better team.
That's what I'm saying with the Bulls and the Lakers.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were talking about the Celtics. I mean,
Kobe White was just named Eastern Conference Player of the Week because over the last week he averaged 30 a game.
He was awesome. I mean, Giddey was two steals away from a quadruple double in that game. So there is you're probably more looking at a best case scenario, not a 6-10, a 5-10. 5 out of 10.
And so that now you're hoping and praying
they win one.
That the Suns win two games.
It's not happening.
That's a tough ask. And then throw in that the Dallas Mavericks are rushing Anthony Davis back. He could play tonight. He has been removed from out to doubtful against the Brooklyn Nets. Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively are doing rehab stints with the Texas Stars, their G League team.
This is the ultimate, like, I've lost $100. I'm going to go to the ATM and pull out 100 more.
It is absolutely insane what they are doing. I don't understand.
They're doubling down. They're on tilt, Danny. This is something that we've seen before. We've seen it at the casino where you go, I don't want to be that idiot.
Yes. Trying to make up everything that you
like
lost.
I lost 100. I'm going to go to the ATM and pull out 200 and come back.
And get it back.
That's not responsible gambling.
No.
That's not what we promote here.
No, absolutely not. So, look, it's still mathematically possible, but there's also another thing you need to consider in those back-to-back games. And they aren't back technically back-to-back. It's April 4th and April 6th. Against Chicago, on the road, come home for a day, play the Spurs. Those are also the two teams that are just behind you in the standings.
Right.
If you're talking about getting a potential pick and moving up in draft.
Could that be a spot where someone has knee tendonitis?
At that point in time, if you lose
a wrist contusion,
two out of three or three out of four, the decision's made for you.
Right.
And then you just kind of wonder what you do because the math will just be the math at that point in time. And it won't. And again, it does, unless the Blazers go 10-0. And even then, they don't control their own destiny because of the loss column. It just is what it is. So that's where the things stand with the plan. Coming up next on our worst day on the web, UConn goes down with a fight, but boy, was Dan Hurley mad about it. We'll get to that on the worst day on the web. But first, it's the Big Kahuna Sports Center Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Well, the UConn Huskies' quest for a three-peat fell just short against the Florida Gators last night. And as UConn head coach Dan Hurley was leaving the court, he told the Baylor team that was about to go out there how he felt about how he was treated. Oh boy, if you weren't catching it there because of a little bit of background noise, I hope they don't bleep you like they bleeped us. And that was Dan Hurley clearly frustrated about the whistle or lack thereof on both sides of it as UConn falls just short, a 2-point loss to number one seed Florida, which is pretty poignant when you think about it. UConn and Florida, the last two back-to-back national championships teams.
Yeah, I didn't even make that connection.
And I don't know if you made this connection then. Al Horford tipped off against Donovan Clingan last night. Al Horford, the starting big man for that Florida team. Donovan Clingan, the starting big man for UConn.
Al Horford, I knew Al Horford was old. That's one of my first basketball memories.
05-06, baby.
Is them going up against Greg Oden.
So, interestingly enough, I was in the locker room when Donovan Clingan's national title ring arrived to him. And boy, is it nice. And he was proud peacocking.
He should be.
That's
awesome.
Look,
man.
Back-to-back national titles is no joke in college basketball, man. Look, they're the first team to do it since that Florida team.
And that Florida team was the first to do it since the 80s?
Yes, I can't remember.
Did a UCLA? All the way back to UCLA?
Yeah, I think it is. UCLA is the last
time. So then there's four total.
It doesn't happen often.
No.
Even across different eras when players stayed longer, still hard to do. But one of the things Donovan said is best college basketball team of all time.
No.
Just look, he's not wrong in a sense of like, it's one of the best runs in college basketball history. Back-to-back national titles. It's no joke. They're an incredible team. I looked at him and I went, Donovan. And he just kind of smiled. He's like, what? I go, Florida did the same thing you guys did. And I go, they had Chandler Parsons. They had Joakim Noah. They had Al Horford. They had Corey Brewer. Like they had a lot of NBA dudes. Donovan immediately went, whoa, we got NBA dudes. Me? Steph? Like, he started, like, Alex is going to be in the league. And he's, at the time, he was like, Liam will probably be there. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But there's, I remember very specifically going, when you play the Celtics and you play against Al Horford, I want you to just kind of see who he is. And what he is as a player. And we'll talk about that. And we got back after that trip, and remember Boston gave it to them. Mm-hmm. And then again, last night, I didn't get a chance to talk to Donovan postgame. So I will just say, this is my theory. There was a friendly back and forth between Al Horford and Donovan Clingan where they both kind of nodded and smiled right before tip-off. And I'm almost certain there were some words exchanged about whose team had just won.
Oh, for sure. Well, I mean, he's got to give him a little bit of a hard time for that. I'm trying to go through and look at Wooden's championship teams to see if there's one. The 72-73 teams keeps popping up, but that's the only big player that I can see on that is Bill Walton. I know a lot of people are mad at Dan Hurley right now. Is it lame the way that he handled the loss? Yeah, but show me someone who's classy in defeat, and
especially at the very top.
You know what I mean? Like, show me Pat Riley, good loser, and I'll show you a good loser.
In the NBA, there is winning, and there is brutal defeat. There is no in-between. Yep. That's the militant Heat culture, Lakers, Knicks, like that. That's where that stuff comes from. Because at the very top, that's, you have to think that way.
Show me a good loser, and I'll show you a good loser. Yeah. You know what I mean? And the other thing about it, too, for Hurley, when he was supposed to be recorded and when he was in front of the mic, he said the right things.
Look, I'd rather have the guy do what he did there.
Agree.
Show me the real, I'm not talking about the press conference. Show me the real in the tunnel.
And
show me the real. I don't want you to get up there and give me the platitudes. Right. What's actually bad about this, and it's not the what Hurley did. There is now reports coming out about the SID for UConn going after the reporter that released that film and saying that they were in a spot that they weren't supposed to be.
It's kind of Bush League.
It's an open spot report for reporters.
Right. I get it. He's doing his job. And it's going to be better for that reporter in the long run that he got that.
Yeah.
I get it. And you're Dan Hurley. You just lost. Within a minute of losing, mm-hmm. you know that dude is ultra competitive.
This is why we want interviews after games, is because we want the raw. We want right. the real. We don't want the rehearsed platitudes.
And
bad or otherwise.
He's the type of guy that I bet you when he goes back into the locker room before he goes and gives his press conference.
Fiery.
He's fiery. But two, I bet you he takes like 2 minutes of Zen or something where he's just like, I have to calm down so that I don't blow up. Because you watch it on the court. Look,
Chauncey Billups said he doesn't really talk to his players post-game.
Yeah, because he's afraid.
It's a very simple message, something. Good, bad, or otherwise. I don't want to get too high. I don't want to get too low. We don't do that immediately. He goes, I don't do that immediately, other than to talk about just some high-level stuff.
Right.
I want to go into the film.
Well, and Hurley's also an old-school basketball mm-hmm. coach where he's a red ass. He's going to be in your face. He's going to scream. I mean, they were up by like, 15 in the last national title game, and he literally stepped on the court and shoved a player because they were in the wrong spot. Not a good thing to do. I'm, hand up, not a good thing. But I also think
there's a tinge of Bobby Knight in there. But look, I love Hurley.
Nothing's come out about it yet.
Look,
I love Hurley. Look, I like Hurley.
Donna Klingon last night, when I asked him about just UConn, Hurley, he goes, I will ride for Hurley, always.
I think his players would die for him.
He is a coach that their players would die for.
Die for. Because as fiery as he is, it's clear that he takes care of his guys.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
He puts his arms around them. He gives a damn. He loves them.
Yes,
he cares about them. It sounds like he reaches out. Mm-hmm. And so while sometimes the picture isn't always the cleanest, I do think behind closed doors, based off what other people have said about him, he takes care of them. And
also,
they do
he's great for college basketball.
College basketball needs
a heel.
And here's the thing. It's weird that he's the heel. When you look at some of the college basketball
he's a heel because
coaches,
he's great. That's why he's a heel.
But when you look at some of the other college basketball coaches, they should be a heel because they're actually garbage. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No.
You know what I mean?
There's plenty of that.
It's a weird thing that he's the heel because at least right now, it seems like you're upset that he doesn't handle losing well. Could things come out later? I don't know. But right now, the biggest issue with him and the reason why everyone's calling him a heel is because when he lost, he was upset and he said bad words.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That's kind of weird. Yeah. I'd rather have a coach like that than a coach that's like, oh, shucks, we'll get him next time.
Exactly. Coming up next, we're going to keep it in the world of college basketball and the coaching world. The coaching changes as teams have been eliminated. There are massive, massive changes around college basketball as the coaching carousel is already spinning out of control. Danny and Dusty, Tenney the Fan. The coaching carousel is spinning fast and out of control in college basketball. I mean, look, the transfer portal is not just for players. It is for coaches as well. You have probably the biggest profile switch right now is Sean Miller, formerly of Arizona and then to Xavier. And he is going to take over the job at Texas. And I've talked to people in college basketball who said this deal has been done for basically months. Beyond that Miller was the preferential hire 2 years ago. And
before they had to stick with Terry.
Yes, and that was because of the Chris Beard stuff that came out. And basically the Beard stuff and the accusations of domestic violence and then the charges being dropped, it became a political thing where a lot of the donors and boosters and alumni wanted something that was cleaner. And obviously Sean Miller with the FBI probes and everything else at Arizona, they just didn't have the stomach for that. So now they're coming full circle to Sean Miller coming from Xavier to Texas, who Xavier was also the team that knocked Texas out, blew the doors off Texas in the play-in game.
Yeah, well, they had a great comeback in that. I just think that wherever Sean Miller goes, it should be written into his contract. If the other university that's taking on him is funny, he should have to wear a white shirt. Like, that involved.
Have him sweat through those shirts.
Yes, he should have to wear a suit. He should have to wear a white shirt. He should have to sweat through it. I think that would be very funny. I mean, it's a good hire for Texas. We had the boss in here, and obviously the boss knows what's going down with the Texas Longhorns, and he was kind of saying like that's probably the best hire that they could get. Like Sean Miller's a good coach.
Sean Miller's a great coach and a great recruiter.
He wins everywhere he goes. He won at Xavier. He won when he was at Arizona.
And he won at Xavier again.
Oh, that's right. He started out at Arizona. Xavier.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you look at Texas and you look at how good the SEC
Texas should be a lot better than they've been.
And they can compete with these teams.
Yes, they can.
But you know what's also crazy? Like, it just means more. It kind of now does mean more. Seven teams in the Sweet 16?
Six. Six of the 16 are SEC teams.
And you're guaranteed at least one in the Elite Eight?
Because you've got Tennessee and Kentucky in the 3-2 matchup. Was it the South?
You've won the last three or four in women's college basketball? Like, in every sport. In every sport.
Look, they got 14 teams in, and Dustin and I were talking about this, how many teams needed to win their first round games to make it matter. And I was like, probably eight. Eight's probably the number because the top end of the SEC is so much better than the back end, but like you wanted to see kind of what that turned into.
It's seven.
Is it 7-16?
It's seven. It's Tennessee, Kentucky, Bama, Arkansas, Florida, Ole Miss, and Auburn.
Okay, yeah, it is seven.
Yeah, and
I was just doing off the top of my
head. You know what's crazy?
So almost half of the Sweet 16 is the SEC.
And you have two of the one seeds. You had a two seed. Shoot, you have two seeds. And you also have the plucky underdog, the 10 seed that is Arkansas and John Calipari.
Which, you know, they're playing some great basketball. And then the game of the tournament so far, which ended on the Derrick Queen game winner for Maryland, Colorado State's head coach, Nico Medved, is leaving Colorado State to go back to his alma mater at Minnesota. Medved has done a crazy good job at Colorado State. He lured Neat Clifford from Colorado to Colorado State. Jabari Walker was teammates with Neat Clifford. Neat Clifford's one of my favorite players in college basketball. I probably have him higher on my mock draft than probably 90% of the draft scouts, mock folks that are out there. I love him. If you're telling me that you can get 22-year-old 6'6" better shooting Josh Hart,
yeah,
at pick 15 through 18, why the hell would you not take him?
Is there a room or a spot here? Is college basketball making a wave to becoming more popular?
Yes, NIL is a massive part of that because guys are staying and developing.
Right.
Look no further than women's basketball. It was like, oh, women's basketball's down right now. No, it's not.
It's ever been.
Well, it's down from last year.
Right.
Or 2 years ago from Caitlin and Angel.
Right.
But how long were they in college basketball?
They were there for 3 or 4 years.
Four years.
Right?
That's the thing. The Jujus of the world,
they're gonna
she's
be
in
there
year
for a
two.
While.
When she gets to year four, she's going to have the same kind of juice.
Or at least in the ballpark.
Yes. And that's the thing. It's like, as players stay longer and they build brands, like, so...
And the coaches are fun again. Like, they're building brands. Izzo's fun, and he always has a fun team at Michigan State. I really like the Michigan coach, and I'm blanking on his name right now.
Oh,
but
yeah,
he was awesome.
From FAU.
Yep,
yeah.
He was
Dusty
awesome.
May.
Thank you. He was awesome at Florida Atlantic. We just talked about Dan Hurley.
Look at what
Dan
Michigan's
Hurley's fun.
Doing.
Like, Bruce Pearl's back in the sport.
Oh, God,
he's fun. Maybe it's just because I watch more college basketball than I ever have this year because I was writing on it and I was betting it. And so maybe it's...
And it's better.
Maybe I'm biased.
No. College basketball last year, particularly on the men's side, sucked. It was not good.
It's like fun to watch.
That's why most of the draft early on was littered with international players.
It's fun to watch.
It is a great group of prospects, but also college basketball, and it's the coaches are moving up the ranks. The players are moving up the ranks. Like, if you look at the transfer portal in college basketball right now, the number of players that are like freshmen and sophomores that are averaging 15, 18 points a game, like very good players, but they're not NBA ready yet, that are leaving like the Tulanes of the world and going to upper tier programs. It's the same thing you see in college football. It is going to make the top better. And look, I want 364 teams to matter in college basketball. It's not.
No,
it's
never just, will. Never will.
But you're going to, like, those lower teams, they're going to be these proving grounds for these 3 stars or low 4 stars that come with question marks or developmental questions or these things, and they're allowed to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will springboard and, like, it kind of inverse as you, like, Neat Clifford, who was kind of buried behind some depth at Colorado, but he goes to Colorado State.
Now he blows up. Now he's awesome.
His wings are out here. Now he damn near averages 20, 10, and 4.
Yeah, he's the reason, like, his turnaround is what led to their run this year.
Yes. I mean, like, he's a great player who's going to be a first-round pick in the NBA, and if you've got a guy like that who is so impactful, it's huge, and that's where you get guys like Medved, who's leaving Colorado State and going to Minnesota, because it's going to a, like, Minnesota's not this basketball powerhouse, but it's a Big Ten conference team. It is not a Mountain West team, so there's more resources, there's more things you can do. You get Miller going through Texas from Xavier. He kind of was pushed to the side because of the FBI probe stuff. You've got Drake's head coach, who got there for a year, brought his team with him, including Bennett Sturts, had the game that they had, did what they needed to do, and they drop a game in the round of 32.
Because JT Toppin was unbelievable.
Yes, at Texas Tech, who's a 3 seed. Drake is an 11 seed.
And JT Toppin, just like you said, he was at New Mexico last year?
Yes, and he's an NBA dude. He's a second-round pick.
Like, he's awesome now.
But he's going to go replace Fran McCaffrey at Iowa, another Big Ten school.
Right.
Like, you're seeing, like, where this stuff is headed. And, yes, it's going to mean that the lessers are going to suffer, and I don't necessarily like that. But for, like, the overall health of college basketball, there's probably going to be 60 teams in college basketball that are going to be really, really good. Now, there's going to be truly great teams,
right,
like what you're seeing at Florida and Auburn and Duke. Now, Duke is very different because they have 3 first-round picks. They have 3 lottery picks, and they're all playing well with a generational talent in Cooper Flagg. But everything that's kind of coming out of this, I think, is good for college basketball.
I think college basketball might be having a renaissance.
Yes.
Like,
and I think NIL is the biggest part of it.
And I know it bothers you when people say, like, oh, people are tuning out of the NBA at times. At least at times, young people.
Sure.
I think that's also turning into why people are leaning into the college basketball. Like, it's more than any of my buddies have ever watched college basketball. Now, my buddies and I, we still watch NBA basketball.
You'll go in and out of it. That's the reality.
We're not sitting down there and watching, you know, what's going on in the Ivy League. Like, we're not watching.
You're
Ivy
not
League
watching
basketball.
A10 basketball. I get it.
But I'll tune in on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And I'll watch 2 or 3 college basketball games.
Especially if you know players.
Yep.
And that's the big one. Before we get into hour number 3, I was sitting around the table with a bunch of scouts eating dinner. Was this Friday night? Yeah, it was Friday night because it was after the tournament, and I was rushing down there. And we knew Cooper Flagg was already, we knew he was going to go. And we're all talking about the same question. Is there really a non-zero chance that Cooper Flagg comes back to Duke? And it's a very, very, very small chance, but the fact that it is becoming a real possibility in the sense of it being non-zero, we started like asking around the table, when was the last time the best player in college basketball, not like the, oh, he's an All-American who's never going to play in the NBA type, but like the dyed-in-the-wool first-team All-American, like that's a dude.
Leitner?
Same school, white dude,
Redick.
J.J. Redick, 2005. Redick. First-team All-American, came back for a senior year.
Redick.
It's the last time, like, the
God, I hated him.
Oh, yeah. But, like, you could make a case for J.J. Redick being the best player in college basketball.
Yeah, it was him or Adam Morrison back then. That's what I remember. And remember, this is, to be fair, it's the beginning of me understanding sports.
Oh, yeah.
But I remember loving Adam Morrison and hating J.J. Redick.
20 years ago was the last time the best player in college basketball came back.
And I don't.
And I'm not talking about like the Luka Garza type again, like the All-American fringe NBA guy.
Right.
You're like, that's an NBA dude, and but it's because of the rule changes and NIL and everything else that kind of goes into all this stuff. I still say it's a 99.8% chance that Cooper Flagg goes to the NBA.
Dude, I say it's 100. He ain't coming back.
Look, man, it's a non-zero chance. That's basically everybody at the table. All agreed. It's a non-zero chance, which 2, maybe 3 months ago was so far out in left field. Like everybody would call you crazy.
Right.
And now everybody's like, it's not going to happen, but it could, which that is such, like, I don't think people realize how far that boulder is being pushed up the hill, even for that small of a chance.
It would be the boldest of bold moves. I don't see him doing it, even with the NIL, because the NIL would just move with him. Like the deals
yes,
that he has, he's on every commercial, it would move with him.
the idea of going back and avoiding going and playing for Washington or Charlotte would be pretty funny, which is exactly where I want to start hour number three, with the scourge of tanking and how some teams are getting around it and what the NBA can or can't do to fix that problem. And hour number three on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.